Hello, everybody.
What do you know?
Welcome to the Mega 64 podcast. You're here with the Mega 64 boys on a hot Sunday night.
Yeah.
We are.
I was going to say wet Sunday
night. I thought so too, but it's not wet.
Damp out there.
Wet live. Sunday night. Oh, we are nice and dry.
Yep.
Speak for yourself.
Well,
okay.
I'm ashy. I'm so dry.
Oh.
Get some lotion.
Rocco and Sean are implying that they're not dry. They're implying that they are, in fact, wet.
Too wet crew.
Well, yeah, it was pretty moist outside. I was out and it was moist.
Dewy.
Yeah, it was dewy.
It was nice. Johnny, can we get a two shot of the Dewy boys?
Do we want to talk about the moisture level? Wet,
no. Moist boys.
No, that's not that.
No.
What bandits
no,
over
no,
here?
No, not me. Those God. Two.
Literally anybody but the what
Dewy.
You did.
Jeez. Those where's guys? Heaven?
The Dewy boys aren't happy with you.
Dewy boys.
Where
moist
the fuck?
Boys. Moisture. Don't get me in there. Don't let me in with those guys. I'm dry.
Hydrating.
I'm a dry dude.
He's a dry dude.
I'll hydrate now.
Anyway, welcome. This is the Kobe Bryant tribute episode. We are going to exclusively talk about Kobe.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know what you're doing.
Are we going to make fun of?
I don't know what you're doing.
No, I wanted to pay. No, I'm
going to. Are we going
to
make fun of a legend?
No, I wanted to do a tribute.
On the podcast?
I wanted to do a tribute. Now okay. Everyone's jumping
you
on.
All right, do the tribute. Let's start over. Do the tribute.
He's okay. A goat. Let him
real
do
talk.
Yeah.
I saw Kobe Bryant like half a dozen times in Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
And he, every time, was walking around. They would be people yelling, just straight up yelling at him. People just going, MVP, getting in his face. And he was nice every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nice. That's all I wanted to say. That's really not a joke.
I saw also
him. No, he wasn't with Mitt Romney. Whoever that is in the chat, we're going to have Twitch come to your house and talk to you.
Ban him.
I also saw Kobe Bryant a couple times.
Really?
At soccer tournaments with Emma at State Cup. It was like the best teams of San Diego and LA. Oh,
wow.
And he watched his kid play. And it was really cool. Like, he'd always, always make time for every single kid who wanted to talk to him. Nice. It was fucking cool.
A good guy.
I know. I am legitimately sad about this.
Every industry, it seems like they have a story about him.
Goat behavior,
can
man.
Can I? I'd like to start with a joke. What is the worst part about being tell workers. Everybody can breathe easy. That's all I have
is that
to say about Kobe. Sean, thoughts?
Theme song.
I'm a lonely horse, got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side, I'm just trying to be the lonely horseman.
We had a great weekend.
We did.
Yeah. We had a great week.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm. Yeah, this last Wednesday we went to we had Kevin's bachelor party and Rachel's bachelorette party. I wasn't part of the latter, but we went with us here. We went with Kevin. We all went to Disneyland and we all found our way onto the new Rise of the Resistance ride that it just opened.
It was an unusual. Did they used to call them stag parties back in the day?
Was that I've heard
or
of
that something else?
I've heard of stag films.
Yeah,
which is like 50s lingo for, you know.
But we did the
pornos.
We did it up better than Vegas could ever provide in Batu.
We put Vegas to shame.
Yeah, bachelorette combo in Disneyland.
But it was extremely difficult to get a stripper to come to Disneyland.
You did have, yeah, you had complications.
And I don't know
there.
If she got stopped at the gate or if she took a detour to Adventureland, but she never showed up, basically.
You had a whole thing planned?
$1,200 down the drain.
Oh my gosh.
Down the drain.
That's a pretty penny. I I'd never been inside the park before. That was my first time.
You never been inside Disneyland?
Well, Galaxy's Edge Park, that side. The
what did you think
Black
of it?
Spire Outpost.
The first time I went to Batuu, I was really jaded. Like, what's this going to be? And then walking in, it was like, holy shit, I want to live here. It was like so much more amazing than I was prepared for.
I got to admit that I didn't know the level of detail that everything was going to have. Because I hadn't looked at any kind of social media stuff or ads. I like, aside from stuff Rocco posts, which is, you know, your basic power stance in the Millennium Falcon hallway, I hadn't seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was really blown away by, like, actually seeing everything up close and interacting with that Play app.
They kept fucking with you.
Yeah, the actors were, like, definitely, repeatedly. Like, seeking me out.
You're,
yeah.
like, yeah. I think that you're just an attention-grabbing person.
Like
they see you from across Batuu, and they're like, I'm going to go talk to that guy.
I think Kylo was basically, like, stereotyping me. He summed me up with one look, and he's like, oh, I could get this guy on my side. And he was over there to recruit. And I think, Sean, you were trying to turn me onto the dark side.
Yeah, I was trying.
But
I was saying just go with it, but you didn't want to. He held his ground.
He silenced Sean.
Yeah, he did.
I have a lot of great video from that night because of just everyone having their phones out when we were going around. And while everyone was fucking with me, there's like great pictures of it. So we've been tweeting that out and I put some on my Instagram stories. It was super fun though.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rockin.
No.
I thought he was going to say something. No, it was an awesome day. That was probably like my favorite day at Disneyland. In a long time, actually. We spent like 95% of it in Galaxy's Edge, and it was really fun.
It was weird being there without game days. That's like the only time I've gone in the last, I don't know, probably like 4 or 5 visits.
Yeah, the the new ride was really impressive just in the sense that it wasn't even really like just a ride. Like, it's hard to describe because I had a lot of people asking me like, how long is the new ride? And it's like, well, it's not even, I don't even know how I would judge that because it's like a whole ongoing experience. Like you go through like 5 different things. It's all an enveloping thing. I don't even know how
one thing kept topping the next. Like,
yeah, it was like they used every trick that they learned in all their attractions and shows and whatever, and put it in one thing. And I was really like blown away by that.
Break it down. You have like obviously Star Tours.
Yeah.
They're
okay.
Using those tricks, which they use in Smuggler's Run. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of Haunted Mansion in there where like the line is kind of moving you through the queue without you realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
hard because I don't want to spoil.
The animatronics,
I don't want to spoil too. I know it's out there, but like if people are waiting to like visit.
I'm not talking specifically like I'm just saying like kind of what other rides have their imprint and fingerprint on this ride. I guess they all do a little bit.
For me, it was the first, the track system was different than anything I've ridden in California, in the Disneyland.
Rocco told me when he went to Japanese Disneyland that they had trackless ride technology, all like GPS stuff. And I had always wondered—
In their
like,
Winnie the Pooh ride.
And I was like, how the fuck does that work? So when we got on this ride and there was no track, I was like, holy shit, they fucking brought it over. They're doing those Japanese Disney tricks now.
Yeah, it took like over a decade to get that here, but— once they did, it paid off. And what's funny is they're going to get a Ratatouille ride in Epcot like next year or later this year. And that was one that they did in Paris like years ago when they were still kind of figuring out that technology. And it's not, I don't know, it's not as intricate. Like I've heard it's not that impressive. I haven't been on it, but that's going to open in Epcot later this year. And I don't think I don't think people are going to be as impressed.
Like, this, like, the subject matter.
You're in like a little mouse like going around a room. It's like, I already went on Star Wars like that. Anyway, the way they utilize everything, it really is a disservice to like show too much or reveal too much. I wouldn't look up any video. Like
it was so cool being cold when we went.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything.
I had no idea what I was getting into, and I'm not going to reveal anything about the ride, but it was constantly a feeling of like, Is this it? I'm not sure. Okay. Oh, this is cool. Is this the ride? Okay, I'm not sure. Now we're doing this thing. It was very like,
yeah.
What's the way? Almost, this is going to sound bad, but insidious the way they get you on this ride, because you're almost on the ride for a long time before you even realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was content with like the queuing process and everything. It's like, if that's all this was and I didn't know that it just kept one-upping itself, I would be content at, you know, the first half.
I was on
it.
Such an adrenaline rush when it ended.
Yeah.
Having just gone in cold, and it was so much bigger than I ever could have imagined. I was really, really impressed.
The scale of it is what blows me away.
I mean, I enjoyed that ride more than like any of the movies. I was like so down for Star Wars after that. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it really got, there's a couple parts in it that get the spirit of Star Wars more than like anything I've seen in a long time. Like, again, don't want to give away anything,
right,
but it was really, really like impressive. It was really, really impressive.
Should we talk about how we were fully cock-teased on our first entrance in? Well, maybe not all of us is our first entrance into the ride, but when we first got on.
Yeah, there's an intro part to the whole thing that breaks all the time, basically. That's it.
So we got to the front of that queue, like where that part happened.
And they like brief you on what's about to happen, and then they just dump people out there. Like, here's what's going to happen. And it's always breaking there. Like, I think on both coasts, it breaks at that part because there's a special effect there.
And we were
needs
on
to do something for you. And
we were on like a very lucky streak getting into that ride in the first place, because it was pretty hard to get into. You guys had a strategy showing up like first thing in the morning, but
yeah,
it was amazing that we all got on that thing and got to ride it together. And it worked out that once it reopened and they'd fixed the problem, we got on.
Yeah. So once it was all over, I didn't tell anybody, but I had tried days before to go on that because I was trying to set it up for Kevin. I was trying to arrange some things behind the scenes to get Kevin on that day. But anyway, and when I went, it broke in the same spot. So I got to see it, like the opening of it, like, oh, this is going to be so cool. All right, everyone get out. Oh, okay. All right. So that was that.
What is it that's breaking? Do we know? Did they say like what?
No. I mean, I think it's hard to, they've got to like move you from place to place. Right. And that is what's breaking. Something that's moving you.
Moving magic.
Like, it's all a lot of like tricks.
I don't even know quite what the fuck happened in that part of the ride. Right. Like, I get it. They move you.
Yeah.
But the logistics of it are so like, I don't know where I was. Yeah. They took me and I don't know where they took me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't, was I still in Disneyland? I have no concept of.
Yeah.
Did I go 2 feet? Did I go 30 miles?
Yeah.
Did I go to a galaxy far, far away? I don't know. It's so it's so immersive. It's such a magic trick.
Yeah.
It was cool. And I thought
actors
was pretty jaded about Disneyland, but this is like, it's reinvigorating for me.
Yeah.
Well, the actors in that ride fucking outdo themselves. It was the best experience, I think, having the real actors.
They're all like Imperial like officers, you know, from the movies, and they're like mean to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the best job in the whole park.
That seems like the funnest, right?
Yeah.
Though I do feel like maybe that job is the worst because people will fuck with you. Because I feel like, oh, you're gonna be mean to me at Disneyland? Well, I'm gonna be mean to you back. Like, or just mess with you.
I think you'd get so good at.
And they're gone within, you know, they're away from you in 10 seconds anyways. Yeah. I don't know.
You probably get good at comebacks, though.
I'm like, sure people think, honestly, it's the people say the same five things to them, and they just say the same five comebacks.
Right.
And the people who say the five things are the people who think, oh, I made this up. I'm the first person to say this. And then they're not. And the guy has a comeback for it already to go.
We saw one hilarious lady in Bot 2, because Kylo Ren was messing with Garrett.
Oh, one of several times.
What was he fucking saying? He was like,
he wanted me to join his bullshit join first order.
Garrett's having an interaction with Kylo Ren one-on-one. It's everybody has their phones.
It's my dream.
Some old lady from out of nowhere, like, inserts herself into the situation, like, steps in front of Garrett and is like, Ben, we're waiting for you when you want to come home. Doing all this in character, like, oh, I'm trying to talk to Ben Solo. I know he's in there. Like, lady, this is an actor. We're at Disneyland. This isn't actually Star Wars.
It's for kids, lady.
Yeah, nobody cares. And then we walked away and Kylo Ren walked the other way. She was like following him around being like, Ben, wait up. I want to talk to you some more. It's like I could feel the actor had a mask on, but I could feel him like rolling his eyes like, I don't want to be a part of this. I'm just going to walk away.
No hand gestures for her. He got like an inch away from my face with his finger. He was pointing at me when he was talking to me and like very intimidatingly like clutching and squeezing his leather glove to where I could like hear it. And
I'm just now realizing Star Wars Land is the only part of Disneyland that's filled with bad people.
Yeah.
Like the cast members are like pretending to be evil and they like get in your face and they fuck with you. I never see Rey walking around being nice. It's always Kylo Ren like threatening people.
Yeah, Rey was hiding.
Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Chewbacca fucked with us too.
But he's still nice. He's a Wookiee. He just didn't know.
I saw Rey and another character actually like interacting with kids. But honestly, there weren't that many kids around that day. We went on such a good day.
Yeah,
as far
empty.
As like the park being empty.
Yeah, it was really dead.
It was the best. It was the best. Crowd wise, yeah. The best day at Disneyland I've been to in like a decade.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, you know, 10 years ago, I had an annual pass and we would just kind of go up on random days. Oh, Tuesday afternoon. Oh, Thursday morning. And it was, you know, you could time it and kind of come empty. And I don't really have that experience anymore because we go on like Sunday for game days, a weekend in October or early November. That's kind of my one day yearly Disney trip. It's always packed. So this was like, oh, I forgot the park could be like this. 15 minutes to ride Smuggler's Run. 5 minutes for Pirates of the Caribbean. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Yeah, it was a really good day there. I was really surprised. We built lightsabers.
Yeah. That was the cherry on top of the final, like the piece de resistance of the day was I got to like clip that on and carry it around.
Yeah, you got the clip.
Well, Rocco had two swinging at one point, so I think.
Yeah, I got the.
That's how a pimp does it.
Yeah, I wanted to wear a lightsaber on my belt throughout the land just as I walked around so no one would think I was weak.
Yeah.
And it
made stormtroopers fuck with you.
Yeah, I got the Mace Windu lightsaber, just the hilt, and hung it from my belt. And then as soon as I clipped it, yeah, the stormtroopers started harassing me. They were like coming up to me and asking if I was a collector. You're a collector, right? I was like, yeah, sure. I don't even know. I was giving them like cops like episode answers. Like, no, I don't even know what this. My friend handed it to me. I don't even know what this is.
What does collector mean? What does that mean?
It's all like in universe where.
No, they're just asking if I was. Are you a collector?
Like, is he going to use that as a weapon? Yeah. Or are you just collecting?
Oh, yeah, they were like, you're just a collector, right?
And I noticed like only the stormtroopers called it a lightsaber. All the other like cast members, people selling stuff that would comment on it, they'd call it a scrap metal.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
They're all rebels, so it's like code. Like, hey, we know you're a Jedi. Keep it secret.
I was waiting for Kylo to come talk shit to me because I had banter locked and loaded. Because he walks around with two stormtroopers everywhere he goes.
Right.
So I was gonna call him out like. You talk a big game, but let's see you without your boys backing you up. Kylo Ren, Jedi Knight, who walks around with two stormtroopers. I'm by myself. Let's go mano y mano. But he didn't.
I thought about that too, because I held my ground and told him like, yo, I'm a conscientious observer, bro. I don't want to get involved in some galaxy war. And
conscientious observer.
That's when he told me basically that, you know, he's going to crush the rebels. And then he threatened my life as well. But I wonder if I would have gone the other role and like kneeled before him and asked him to, you know, knight me. If I could follow him around and
what would he have done?
I don't know. Maybe we could have gone on a date. Maybe we could have got a Ronto rap.
Maybe he would have taken you backstage and
you ever see?
You would have been in the show.
I would love to see Kylo.
That would have been so cool.
Stuff a Ronto rap under his mask.
Can you imagine?
Just munch it.
He takes you backstage and we don't know where you went. And then the show starts and there's three stormtroopers and you take off your helmet and you're one of them.
That'd be so cool.
That was going to happen, but you blew it.
Damn, dude. But hey, I stand by it. When I built my saber, I went peace and justice.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
What? That's fucked.
Oh.
Oh, my blade isn't inserted. My kyber crystals is shorting out.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Guys, hey. Just give him like just 5 minutes to.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Behold.
Ooh, the white one. Do you have like a cool slogan about your white lightsaber, Garrett?
That sounds cool.
I don't know what you're implying cool. by the color of my blade here, but no, I don't.
Okay,
I'm just a good guy.
Dude, yeah, it sounds like white, it sounds like fucked up, cool. like blown out the speaker or something.
Like, yeah, like electrostatic. Yeah, discharge.
It can't handle it.
You know what I think you should do is name your lightsaber Dorner.
No.
No.
Don't bring up White Dorner again. That's a part of my history I'd like to forget.
Okay, all right. We'll move on.
I think mine is just like your. I think mine has one different part. I'm looking at yours right now, and I think we only did one different thing. Except the blade is definitely different on mine.
Yeah,
I wanted to do classic like old Jedi lightsaber again, but I went green. Mm. Is that going to like black out the camera?
No,
remember it was doing that.
It looks good. Like,
remember, what was it, the yellow one or the purple one when I did it on Black Friday? I went like that and like the camera went dim.
I think it was the purple one.
Yeah.
Power of the
And I said like saber. I could censor parts of the show I don't want on. Like yeah. I do that and then it turns off. I don't remember what color that was. But anyway. Anyway, I think this is the only part that's different.
No, let's see. Hold it up. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one. That
no, you have a different. You have a different base.
Oh, I do? Oh, I do. Yeah. You're
and a
right.
different top sleeve.
Okay.
And a different switch. I think we. Oh no! You have the switch.
Same switch.
I like anyway, this switch.
This is the second one that I had to bring back to Galaxy's Edge to fix because it wasn't.
Yeah, that's a bummer,
that
bro.
That sucks, dude. That sucks.
Oh, whoops! I dropped. Oh,
I also got the Peace and Justice.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah. Mine's pretty different from you guys, though. It's.
Yeah, you picked a lot of different. Parts.
I think it's all different
for being in the same faction here. Yeah, they're all very unique in their own way.
Yeah. But I,
oh man,
Blue Boy,
you got the classic sound pack in there.
Yeah,
there's a classic whoosh.
I compared my old Master Replica's Vader saber to this one, and like I got some extra crystals, so changing out the sounds.
Yeah,
that's the coolest part. Is
whoa,
you put a different crystal in it, and it has the whole different
that's
sound.
That's what I love. So when I first got it made, I went with green, mostly because my kids want me to get green. But then I was like, I can get a different crystal. So in my heart, it's always blue. But now I can change it out, and they can whenever they want to play with it, they can switch the crystal out for them, and they can have whatever color they want.
Was it purple that blocked out the? There's one color that when it go to. There's it's not.
Maybe it's yellow.
Maybe it was.
The chat said it was yellow. So
okay, yeah, maybe that's what it was.
You're all playing with your lightsabers.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really nerdy.
It's fun, dude.
Have fun.
Damn.
I will have fun, actually.
I am legitimately, for Christmas, everyone pitched in for me to get this, and I'm really appreciative.
No, we knew you had to get one.
I really thank you, everyone who did pitch in. Thank you.
Just us boys having fun, I guess.
Have fun. Throw that pimp in.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Shit.
Whoa. Yeah, so I got the Elemental lightsaber, Raincore Tooth, end cap. Also, somebody here tonight, I'm going to not name names, called this the Butt Scratcher.
Oh.
I take it one step further, Butt Plug.
Oh. No.
Which then gave me the brilliant idea, attach a butt plug to the bottom of your lightsaber. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
This, as I was told, has Brylark wood from the planet Kashyyyk. Very force-sensitive plants.
Mm. Wow.
Leather wrappings. I don't know where the leather comes from. Let's say it's something cool, like Raincore skin leather.
Ooh.
And this is a Raincore tooth. Very small. You probably think these are bigger, considering how big the Raincore is. This is like a baby tooth. This one probably fell out all on its own.
Didn't even hurt the Raincore.
Didn't even hurt the Raincore.
So it's eco-friendly. Oh, it's green, too.
I got green. I chose green during the ceremony. And then Kevin actually donated a red crystal because I said, I kind of want to do red. He's like, oh, I got an extra one. You can have it. Very gracious. Love that boy. Mm-hmm. And then I ran and got a yellow one because I was told those are exclusive. That you can only buy them in the store. Like, you know, they're kind of rare and fancy.
With the crystals, right? What is white from? I don't know where it's even from.
Ahsoka Tano, bro.
I think, yeah, I think that's all just like Clone Wars cartoon. Oh, never mind. I was going to say, like, there's like temple guards with those, but I think that's yellow.
You know what? My love of that color saber is.
Yeah, why is this?
I love Obi-Wan. And when Obi-Wan holds his lightsaber like that.
Yeah.
In. Episode 3, New Hope.
Four,
A New Hope. It reminded me of the white lightsaber that they sell here at the park, so I picked it up.
Yeah, his did kind of look white in the movies.
And that's the one I got. I got my lightsaber tattoo.
And that one kind of looks a little blue.
Right. So it's kind of in there. And it's got this funky noise.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't even think about that because it did look like that.
I just feel like, yeah, I went with the big wide emitter because Obi-Wan's is like that too.
It was close. When I was building it, I really was struggling until I put it all together, and then it lined up like all these gold pieces lined up together. I didn't even know. It looks.
Yeah, that looks like.
It's so fucking cool.
I was always on the podcast a little hesitant about dropping that cash for a lightsaber build, but the ceremony.
Yeah.
The pin you get, and just the whole experience, plus how heavy and like well constructed the lightsaber is, a step above the master replicas that I paid equally as much for 10 years ago. I was very happy as a customer.
I think the way that they do it is really nice, how you get the pin beforehand and you just wear it, and then they don't say anything. You don't have to say it ever again. Yeah. They just see your pin on you, go, oh, they know, like, oh, this is what, and they display. Like,
shouts out Carlos.
Once they really, you kind of, I don't know, they make it feel like you're getting a good deal with spending that much on a lightsaber, which is impressive because it costs a lot of money.
I still haven't heard from anyone that said, oh, I did it, and man, I got ripped off. You know, it's like,
I'll tell you too, when you walk out of the room or you go outside and everyone is holding their lightsabers up and like swinging around and stuff like that, you just look at the crowd and they're like, everyone's so fucking jealous.
Yeah.
They're so jealous.
Yeah. That's smart that they dump you. And the storefront is beautiful. It's like incognito because it's all in character that it's like
not
a hidden, like a scrap shop.
Yeah. Savi's is like a hidden scrap shop.
Black market.
Yeah.
It's cool because
they play it like
you gotta know somebody.
They play it well though because they dump you back into the courtyard where everyone is like, you know, pondering if they're going to buy it or not. And once you see that group dump out and all swinging around, especially we got out at night.
Yeah, right, so at dusk, and it just got dark.
It was like, oh, damn, they're smart.
Yeah.
They're thinking.
They are. And those appointments are always full, right? There's never just like an empty room.
I think they clump people together because we had people in our party that weren't with us.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, the room was full.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, they're pretty consistent. I don't know. I don't know if it's always full, but
I just think that, like, I mean, that room changes out every, what is it, half an hour?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
And it's like, I don't know how many spots are in there, but that's $200 a person. Oh. Like
somebody did the math on Twitter once, and it was like they were making like, what was it? They were making like $4,000 an hour or something.
I would believe that. Easy.
Or 3,600 or something close to that, I thought.
Easy. And then,
if it was full all the time. I don't know if it is.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, I don't know what this cost them to make, like, these parts. Well, like, they're heavy duty, but it's just...
There's some die-cast shop in China just pumping
that's
out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it couldn't... I would say... I'll be generous and say it cost them $35 for this.
I would say... You know, maybe $60, $70 worth of parts.
But you feel like it's so cool and well done. And
accessorizing them, they're smart with all this kyber crystal and different
and
blade
that's the thing,
lengths.
Is like, you know, I'm a fucking grown up, I'm whatever. I walk into this and I feel like I'm a little kid again, like doing what I fucking dreamed of doing since I first saw Star Wars. And it's so cool.
And that's how I felt on that new attraction too, honestly. Yeah. Like, they made you feel like you were dropped into one of the movies. You know what I mean? Like, it had that feeling of like, we're doing shit we're not supposed to be doing.
Oh, I told myself,
set to that music, you know.
I told myself, like, I'm watching the original trilogy within a month from getting back. Like, I'm going to make time to sit down and watch those movies again.
I bought the new Star Wars game.
That too?
I left Star Wars and I'm getting that fucking game.
Yeah. I want to
build
that.
This lightsaber in that. I heard you can make the same things in the game, so I got fall in order.
Have you been playing it?
Yeah, I played it for maybe like an hour. I beat like the first level.
Okay. I'm going to get that too.
We're talking about Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah. It's good. It's an EA game. I feel like the only time I buy an EA game nowadays is when it's a Star Wars game. What else are they making? Are they?
Yeah, they got the exclusive deal for Star Wars, so I guess that's a big part of their thing. But then
Madden.
They make sports games.
Madden, and then what's like Battlefield? That's them, right?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, I think that might be.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
This game is pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
We got called out because we spent another half a podcast talking about Star Wars. Sorry.
Well, they keep putting Star Wars things out.
Well, you know what, guys? We had a lot of Star Wars experiences.
Yeah.
And frankly, Kevin and Rachel aren't that interesting. And we got to fill it with as much Star Wars content as we can.
It's LucasArts.
A lot more big budget, crazy stuff. There were no starships at their wedding. So what do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, there weren't. I checked.
No, I was backtracking with that because that was a fun day that we had.
And then
yesterday was their actual wedding. And that was a lot of fun. It was half an hour of Star Wars talk later.
Well, we're going to do an hour on the wedding right now, so strap in.
Well, can we pause to thank our sponsors for this podcast?
Yes.
Before we get into what will be hours and hours of talking about this momentous occasion, let's thank our sponsor for this week's podcast, Ting.com. Ting is your alternative to cell phone service that has locked you into a contract. And you're paying more than you should. With Ting, there are no contracts. You could try it for a month. No strings attached. They're on the same towers as Verizon and Sprint. So it's a national network. Ting is the smarter choice for affordable cell phone service. You pay a fair price for the talk, text, and data you actually use each month. The average monthly Ting bill is $23. Try it out for yourself by going to mega64.ting.com. And you will get a $25 credit to try out Ting, which you probably have like $3 left over, the $25 credit, and your $23 monthly bill. Try out Ting.com. Save yourself some money. Use that extra money. Go to Star Wars Land. Get a lightsaber.
Right.
Or go to a friend's wedding.
Yeah.
Or have your own.
Or have your own.
You plan a wedding.
With the $20, with the, you know.
With the $3.
With the few bucks you save a month.
With the three extra
After
dollars.
3 months, you could have a wedding. Anyway, we had a wonderful day yesterday, at Kevin and Rachel's wedding. It was an incredible time.
I don't know how much, is it a secret? Like Rachel, Kevin? No,
I mean, I posted
like,
all about it.
Yeah. See, I didn't know. Cause I didn't like, do I, cause sometimes like I've heard that it's bad etiquette to post pictures that you take at someone's wedding. That's what I have been told.
Well,
so I was
all
like,
the people who weren't invited.
Oh, I don't know.
That's old-fashioned thinking. We live in a social media age.
But then I saw Rachel posting the pictures that people took. So like, well, she's clearly fine with it. She's seen it and she's not mad, I'm assuming. I still held off. You know, I don't know. But I will say, not to get too into the wedding ceremony itself.
Their private day.
But God, it was so fucking sweet.
What a beautiful
it
ceremony.
It was beautiful. It was and you guys, 10 minutes long. That's how you do a ceremony.
Perfect.
That's how you fucking do it.
Hey,
right? You just say that you love each other and I do kiss the bride, we're done.
No,
that's how
both,
you do it.
They both read something that they wrote to each other.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And a few words outside of that. And it and enough. Like, what else is there really to
music,
say?
Music, everything.
The two
perfect.
People the two people at the center of it say something important.
Right.
What? Who else needs to say anything? You know.
Yeah.
So perfect.
It was great.
So well done. Yeah. It was great.
And but, then, in true Kevin fashion, we are at the reception, and it's great. There's a pit to make s'mores with fire pit with marshmallows and everything. Yeah. All the works. We got the bar going with coffee and drinks, and then we have DJ playing music, and the DJ comes on and goes, "I've." Never had this requested before, but here we go. And it was Temporary Secretary.
Yeah,
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. Played that song at your wedding. I appreciate it. And I'm really excited. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really awesome. And yeah, I can't say enough. Like, it was, we had a really wonderful night. And honestly, like, they, you know, it was really hard for them. I mean, not getting too personal, whatever, but it was really hard for them because they lived in different countries. And
sure.
To like arrange for that to happen is like not easy. And, mm-hmm. and, I think, given that, you know, with all the challenges there are to do something like that, it was like perfect. Like,
that's great.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really the big mind blower was, I'm going to blow everyone's mind at home. Maybe I've said this before. I don't know. Maybe I've talked about this before, but this is what was a mind blower to me yesterday. We were sitting around, I was making s'mores with other people. And then I think just they had sticks to like skewer the s'mores with.
Yeah. Right. Roast your mellow.
And then I ate so many s'mores and then I was just melting marshmallows.
Yeah.
And I had like too many of those and it's like, okay, I got to slow down. But then just burning the sticks was fun too.
Very therapeutic.
Something on fire.
I did that
just,
too.
You know? Yeah. It was fun.
They give you wood and they say, stick it in the fire. Were you not going to burn it?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I had a good time.
So that was a lot of fun. But while I was doing that, we just got so like meta in the moment. It was like, I remember doing, hope this is embarrassing anybody. I remember doing community theater with Derek.
Oh shit.
In like 2004. And I remember posting online. I was like, I didn't even know at that point we had no information on like, do we have any viewers? Did we, you know, we would post videos on our website.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell
you
anything.
Yeah, it wasn't like we had a comment section. I guess maybe at that point we had a forum, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, we did because I remember posting that like, hey, me and Derek are going to do a show. We're in like Guys and Dolls or something like that. It was like, if anyone wants to see it. I don't think it got one reply, but I was like, well, I'll put it out there. And this dude went. We met this dude with glasses after the thing.
Holy
I had to point
shit.
Out glasses. Because he had glasses on. I don't know. I don't know how any other way to discern, you know, whatever.
I didn't know that.
Wasn't
weird.
That the first time we met that's you, Kevin? You went to that
one
show.
Of the first time.
You were at that show.
Yep. Oh, Kevin was the dude?
Kevin was the dude.
That's
what
Sparky?
The fuck?
And then he went, except I have a secret. And he went, it's me, Rachel. That's how we met Rachel.
Wow.
No. But
way back then.
No, and then I think we saw him at Comic-Con, maybe.
We saw him at Comic-Con, and he took a picture with me, and then he made it his Dead Journal background or MySpace
something
background
like
or something like that.
Something like
and
that.
Which was like, it, MySpace or Dead Journal?
It was Live Journal.
And I was, and it was... It was funny. That's the first time I ever had a picture with a fan.
So,
and it was Kevin.
So yeah, we running with him there, and then at Comic Con, all these kind of San Diego things. Just, you know, ran into him a couple times, and then it was about maybe a year later, and we were filming our video E3 1975
at my dad's house,
and we desperately needed like, it was like we were doing an old E3, and it was like, well, this in the video there's like attendees at this thing, and all of our friends were already in the video. It was like, shit, we need extras. Like, never really done that before, never really like asked for extras. And again, put a thing online, didn't really hear much back. But Kevin came.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin showed up to this thing like, I'll do it. And it was like, okay. It was like, and he was there the whole day. The whole day. We were doing the whole video. And it was like, dude, this guy is like so nice. Like, this is really cool. And when it ended, Kevin was like, hey, thanks for letting me do that. That was really good. I was like, don't thank you. Thank you for showing up. And he was like, thank you. This has been like one of the most fun birthdays ever. And it was like, it's your birthday?
Oh, my God.
What?
I do remember that.
We were all just like, wait, I'm sorry, what?
He puts other people first.
It was his
birthday. He really did. He did.
And we were just fucking sitting around. Garrett, I hate to do this to you, my friend.
Yeah, we need to have him on.
You stay. If it was Kevin's birthday, what day did we film the E3 1975 video?
Fuck.
Do you remember?
I was gonna have him come on and talk to
you. No, I just want to know if you could tell me.
Yeah, what day was that?
What day was that? Back in 2005. I'll give you the year.
That would have been
May.
May.
20,
24. Great month.
May 1st.
Oh! Close.
Just a couple days off.
I just wanted to see if
it's in my calendar. I get a fucking reminder from Siri.
I kept getting people photoshopping the image of you with Kylo Ren when he was in your face. And people were like, oh, the new host of Remember Off.
Because they both look so scared.
And they have, and they have him saying, name each other's birthdays. That was pretty funny. Anyway.
That was great.
That just is like, that right there is like, Kevin in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
selfless.
I'm trying to think of how, I had another Kevin story, but I don't know how long we could go
the
with
Kev
this.
Segment.
Go all night.
Go all night.
Get him on here. I'm going to do
another Kevin story.
Do you want to have Kevin on here? Should we move, let Garrett leave? Or
yeah.
He says no. He's embarrassed.
When we were moving in here, here's another summation. We'll get to Rachel. We'll get to Rachel. Well,
don't you worry.
Okay, we're saving the worst for last. When we were moving into this studio, here's another example of that. When we were moving into this studio, we were setting up all kinds of stuff. And I don't remember what was going on, but there was one day that everything broke. It was so frustrating. Like, trying to set this up. No, live streaming, that's not working. Our internet, that's dead. You know what I mean? It was just like 80 things. I was like at my wit's end. So I was like, let's just take a break and like get dinner, whatever. And we got Mexican food. At the time, I was not eating carbs. I needed to like not eat the tortilla. So I needed a fork to eat it. And everyone got their food, opened the thing. They didn't give us any forks. Ugh. And
Come on.
Isn't it when you've had a hard day and someone fucks with your food?
It's the final straw.
It's like there's nothing. It's like nuclear. And I sat there. It was like I was a fucking like hurt baby. I was just a fucking crying man child. I was just like, Jesus. Oh my God. I was so like every form of profanity came out of me. And I asked Kevin, I was like going to ask Kevin, like, did they give him a fork? And he fucking disappeared. He was like, where? At least there's got to be someone here I can complain about this to, you know? He was out of the fucking, it was like, is he even here? Did he go home? Like, what happened? And I never forgot this. All of a sudden I hear the door opening and closing. And I hear him come up the steps. And then I hear, you know, some rustling around. He comes in and he's got a fork. A fucking, like, silverware nice fork.
Whoa.
And he goes, there you go. I was like, what? And he went to the store and bought, like, a nice fork.
What?
It wasn't even a plastic fork from, like, a food plate. He got it, and before I could even ask the next question, he was like, I already washed it. Like, it's good. I hadn't even vocalized my thought on that yet, but he had already knew to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He saw the crisis.
I didn't even say a word about it yet.
Crisis averted.
Puts out fires.
And that is Kevin in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I'm getting like...
And Rocco in a nutshell.
Oh, geez.
I'm going to say... Yeah. It sounds fucking sappy.
No,
sounds fucking sappy.
He's sappy.
But it's little things like that that... show you how big someone's heart is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And I was so like taken aback by that.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening right now?
No, because you love Kevin. We're friends.
Cut this part out. Keep the open. Yo, cut
right.
this part.
You're remembering how good that keto burrito was.
But I will tell you, Kevin is right here and fine.
Yeah. I never forgot that, man. And
yeah.
That's Kevin.
Rachel's very lucky. Rachel's very lucky. Rachel.
Oh.
Was. I couldn't believe, like, She came to game days, like, I don't know how many years ago it was at this point. Five or six?
Let's say six. Let's just say it.
And it was just like, she was just like suddenly part of all of us. Like,
yeah.
She was just suddenly family, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, I never seen anything like that. And she lived across the world. It wasn't like she lived in LA and came down here all the time. Like, it really was like, how they came across each other out, you know, of such a distance, like, was really incredible. And it's unbelievable that happened, and it happened at the right time. And, I'd never seen anything like that, where she was just like one of us all of a sudden, you know? And, it really was like sitting there last night. I can't say enough. Like, her dad spoke at the wedding.
Oh, yeah. That was so nice.
And he thanked Mega 64. He was like, for doing. I hadn't even
both
like
a, of the
it
fathers
hadn't even like occurred to me that like that event led to them. You know, it's like
right, yeah.
they met each other how very lucky for them.
Right. That blew me away. I didn't think about that.
I wasn't thinking about it in terms of connection to our thing, our event that we did.
Sure. But both fathers, they mentioned that Mega 64 was this catalyst, and it's like, wow.
Yeah,
fuck.
And when he said that, he was like, I want to say thank you. I'm not going to do an impression of her dad. But when he said, I want to thank Mega 64 for doing that, because they, you know, that's what made all this happen. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever he said. That was like, I was like, okay, like, couldn't take that, man. Like, that was like.
It was really.
Because I've had a lot of people say that to me before, too. And other people that somehow have met people that way, too. I mean, there was an engagement at Game Days at one point, too.
Yeah, that's
outside
true.
Outside of that.
And now, but, I think they just had a baby, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
Damn.
Yeah.
But for her dad to say that was like too much for me, man. Like, that was so, that meant like so much to me. Yeah. And I did not expect this to happen. I'm really sorry. But
that's okay. That's crazy. Yeah. I thought of more Kobe Bryant jokes.
Oh, God. Oh. I never thought I'd be happy to hear that. But.
Johnny, close up on me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Right. I just thought twice about it.
It was a great day. It was so much fun. And yeah, we just, you know, we're so happy for those two. So it's so nice.
Such a good time.
It was just so nice.
Such a good time.
It was a beautiful wedding.
We don't get to hang out with like our whole group of core friends. That
dude, Eric, came down
for no reason,
right?
Not for no reason. We're celebrating a wedding, but it's like that doesn't happen that often anymore.
Yeah,
you know, now that
we're older. I did look around during the ceremony and then at the reception. It's like, dude, these are like all people I love right here. This is
That's what I was thinking. It was like I put my phone away because everyone I know is in this room right now. Like that doesn't happen very often, and it was really meaningful.
It really was perfect.
I don't know, it was just,
I had so
people who
fun.
Flew in, like Meg flew in, you know, and like Jordan came, and it was so much fun. It was
so many of our friends.
It was great. It was great. And then again, Disneyland was such a fun day.
Yeah.
Such a fun day.
That's the important message here is Disneyland was
that was fun.
Was badass.
It was worth it all to go to Galaxy's Edge.
I want to talk about Picard real quick.
If
we have some time.
That's out?
It is out. And I swore I would never fall for the CBS All Access bullshit.
Uh-oh.
But here we are. They had to bring out Jean-Luc to come get me, and I signed up day one once the show was released, and hit play. I am like instantly, I'm just like goosebumps. Like, oh fuck!
Picking up at like where NX?
No, it, no. NXT, it's like it. This
NXT
is like
left off. What is it?
This
NXT
is
GR.
This is real time. So like whatever happened in the last movie, I think it was Insurrection Nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
To now, we don't know. We don't know what happened.
Okay.
And I will say every Star Trek spinoff since then has always been past this.
Oh, okay.
So this is the first we've ever gone in the future is this show. So I'm watching it, super into it. And then 5 minutes in, after a super like intense scene, my internet dies. My modem like is smoking. It's done.
Oh, no.
That's it. I'm like, I don't.
Warp speed.
I don't know.
Engage.
I don't know what to do. I'm looking at my modem. It's like hot. Like, I don't know. Can those get hot? Like it was hot.
Yeah.
They should
I'm
always be cold.
I'm like, I don't know if I should plug this. I plugged it back in. No signal. Nothing.
Oh.
So I'm like, I got to go to the fucking store and get a new modem before I can finish this fucking show. And so that was yesterday. It's been such a busy time that I haven't.
You haven't got it.
I've seen that first 5 minutes. My internet just was destroyed. It took me another 3 hours to fix the internet, and now I can't watch it. So
because you're out of time.
I'm out of time. I was all ready to watch it before the podcast. I'm like, I saw the first episode. Let's go. And then it didn't end up happening for me. So
it's probably the kids in a back bedroom downloading Wares or something.
I was alone. It was just me in the house, and I was just
Wait,
like,
so you didn't finish the episode?
No, I only watched the first 5 minutes.
This is a killer review.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was thinking that part two was gonna be
no part two.
So then
is,
I came here and watched it.
I tried to part two is I bought a new modem from Walmart because they had more selection than anywhere else.
The modem capital,
I guess. Dude, I went to Fry's. They don't have modems anymore. That place is donezo. I think.
Yeah. Fry's, I think, is secretly out of business.
Yes.
They're not letting everyone
know.
Don't tell anyone.
I've been reading on Twitter how, like, they're supposedly a lot of like their vendors are saying like, yeah, we haven't been like paid in 6 months.
So there's like liquidating.
Yeah, yeah, that basically they're done, but they haven't told anyone.
Walking through the store, I was like, where's your modem and routers? Oh, we don't have those.
Yeah.
Okay. So right across the street from that is Walmart. I'm like, oh, I guess let's go there. Came home and then I, you know, you got to call fucking Cox and hook it up, which is annoying. So I called them and like, oh, this modem's been used before and returned and you have to get the old person to deactivate their modem. This modem doesn't work. You can't use this. After this, like after half an hour on the phone with Cox.
Hey, you bought a used modem from Walmart?
I bought it new, as far as I knew. And then so I took it back to Walmart.
Fuck.
And now they're, you got to wait in the fucking returns line for an hour. And then the lady's like, was there cellophane on this? And you opened it? I was like, no. Well, it should have been cellophane. Yeah, I didn't know that. You just handed me the fucking thing.
Kill me now.
Not only that, but like, it's electronics at Walmart. They won't let you touch the item until you bought it. So like, they took it back to the register.
Dude.
So anyways.
They're just going to resell it to some other.
Did they take it back?
They took it back customer. And I exchanged it. And I finally was able to hook it up at home. It took me another half an hour on the phone with fucking Cox. And then I call Cox the second time and go, I'm sending up a modem. And she's like, looking at your history, you used to have a lot of modems. It's like, not usually, just fucking today, apparently.
What a thing to say to somebody.
I know. Anyways, so.
That's a bane of my existence. It really customer
was.
Service.
The second I got the internet to turn back on, is it gotta go to the wedding? And that was it. So.
So the kids
yeah, so
could
Kevin
watch.
And Rachel, I'm mad now. I'm mad at what you did.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
I want him.
He's sad. He's mad. He's extra mad. You're all over the map.
I have a lot of emotions. I feel too much, I'm told.
Hey, you know what? It happens.
Going back to Fry's. Yeah, Fry's is like there's something weird going on with them. Like people were there for like Black Friday and like there's just empty aisles in here. Like,
yeah,
something's going on with that. But I didn't hear like terribly great stuff about Picard.
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't. Oh. Yeah. Well, not even necessarily that it sucked. There's just a lot of people going like, I'm waiting. I'm like reserving judgment. Like a lot of like, okay, it's the first episode. Maybe it didn't really, I don't know. People are waiting, kind of reserving.
Yeah. He is really old.
I think it does. I love Next Generation and I don't think you can recapture what made that show so good.
I agree with you.
And I don't even think they're trying to. Mm. From the trailer that I saw, this seemed a lot more action oriented. Yeah.
It did. Yeah, I mean, here's another thing is like, it's not a spoiler, I guess, because it's in the trailer, but like, you see Data at some point, and he looks fucking old and silly.
We talked about why would this android be old?
Which, yeah. I mean, hey, I get it. Data, he's aged, fine. But like, I just watched half of The Irishman, and it's like, Joe Pesci looked like he was 30 for a little bit. Like, you could have done something to make him look like old Data. I believe you could have.
Did you? I'm sorry. Did you finish Irishman?
No.
Okay. The Joe Pesci. They had to do some work on him. So that sometimes that looked kind of.
Oh, whoever it may
but,
be.
But Robert. Yeah. But I was just gonna say. No. I thought Robert De Niro was overall pretty good.
Yeah, good. Anyway. I mean, like good enough where I was like, yeah, okay. And like The Irishman, it's so long. I'm treating it as like its own television show. Like I'm watching like 45 minutes at a time, and then
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That's how I did it.
And honestly, every now and then I hear somebody say like, "Oh, you can't. That's not how you watch a movie. You got to sit down and watch the whole thing. Nope. You can't break it." But even like Scorsese, I watched. There's a thing on Netflix that's just him like roundtable talking with the cast. Mm-hmm. And I think he even says in that, he's like, I know people's viewing habits are different now, so that's why I didn't limit how long this was. You know what I mean? He's like, people will start and stop it. So, yeah, fuck it. Let's make it 4 hours.
I don't understand, like, this, that's not how you do it. Well, that's how I did it. So, I mean, did I see a different movie?
I think people want to, like, preserve the director's intent. Like, and I think people assume that's what it is. It's like a director wants you to, like, sit down and watch it with no distraction, whatever. But again, Scorsese said that. I remember when Peter Jackson did the extended Lord of the Rings, and he was like, "Yeah, I make the home versions way longer because I know at home you're gonna pause it and like go do something." You know, it's like no, the directors get it; they understand.
Back in the day, they would have movie theaters playing movies all day long.
Yeah,
and people would walk in, have a seat,
come in and out,
watch a little bit of it, leave. I think it was Alfred Hitchcock with Psycho,
was the first person to say, like, if they're not there when the movie starts, don't let them
that
in.
That is true.
It and was that was a big, like, game changer.
Huh. And I think for that movie, maybe that's the, maybe that well, is he would the best.
Say, like, my point is, the history of cinema, viewing habits change. And it hasn't always been you have to sit there and take the whole movie in one breath.
Yeah.
That's how it's been for most of our lives growing up, going to the theater. Yeah. But, you know, ages ago, you come in, take it a little piece at a time. Now we have Netflix. You can do the same thing. So.
Yeah. And there are some movies that I would feel like I did. Somebody brought up in the chat 1917. I would not want to, like, pause and come back to that. The nature of the way that they filmed it, where it feels like it's all one, kind of in one breath. I would say from my perspective, that's not the ideal way to watch it. But everything, there's an exception.
Somebody was watching 1917 at home and they said, I was watching it late at night. I fell asleep. I woke up in the morning and finished
it.
Would
it's not like it's,
you didn't see the movie.
Yeah, no, no, no.
I watch it again.
I would say, like, do your best to watch it in one thing, but it's not, like, over. I don't think there's anything wrong with
do
that.
Do what you want.
Irishman.
I'm
all about freedom.
Can you read Harry Potter if you just have listened to the audiobooks, though?
What?
No.
Oh, so that...
And because Harry Potter is so good, and if you're listening to it, you're not getting it.
So there's the line, folks. Audiobooks.
I'm listening to The Green Mile right now as audiobook. Ooh. I found out about this app where you can hook up your library card to it, and then you can listen to audiobooks for free through the app.
Yep.
But the it's called Libby.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's great.
I want to do that.
The selection is incredible. The only thing is, like, it's the library, so, like, you just don't have so many copies you can loaned out.
Audible.com isn't a sponsor of ours this week, is it?
No.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, like, let's say there's the San Diego County has, like, 30 copies of The Shining. And they are all being used by someone. They get it for 2 weeks, and then you put it on hold, and they'll let you know, oh, hey, The Shining's available for you now, and then you have your 2 weeks.
So it's tied to your local library, the city you live in.
Your county library, yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, like, hey, before you subscribe to Audible,
check
that out.
It's called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y.
Yeah.
And
power to the people,
it
man.
It really is a terrific... It's awesome. And I wanted to listen to The Shining, but I was like, oh, that's... I can't do that right now. Okay, well, they got... The Green Mile? Okay, good enough. I'm happy with that. Yeah, I never read the book.
I saw the movie, and then I read the book, both in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyable. And then, like, by the time I'm done with that, I'm sure The Shining will be available to me, and I'll listen to that next. So, check it out.
On the subject of de-aging actors...
Sure.
I had not seen Captain Marvel before this week.
Mm.
And they de-aged Samuel L. Jackson through that whole movie.
Yeah.
And that's the best de-aging I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was like, this looks perfect.
I'd agree with you there. That's
I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm waiting for some parts that look weird. You know, maybe it would stand out more if I saw it on the big screen in a theater. I didn't do that. But watching it at home, I was just like, they nailed this. Like, he looked like 90s Samuel L. Jackson.
That's crazy.
See that movie?
Yeah, I like it because it feels like a buddy cop. Parts of that movie, like the B-plot, just feels like a buddy cop movie with Samuel L. Jackson and Captain Marvel. Funny.
I knew a lot of people that kind of shrugged about it. I thought it was not like the best of those movies, but I thought it had kind of a neat sci-fi story. I dug that. I didn't think it was so bad, but I didn't think Brie Larson was very good.
Oh, really?
Like straight up, I didn't think she was like, I like her too. Like, I think she's great, but I just feel like that wasn't like a great fit for her.
The character,
like,
to
she
me,
just didn't seem like, I don't know. It wasn't that engaging where, you know, like. Scarlett Johansson's really, like, intense.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I don't know. She, like, didn't have that intensity. It was just odd.
That character is boring to me. It's like Superman. It's like just you're a god. All right, you're boring. I don't know.
Yeah.
You wear blue and white.
I find Superman boring as well.
Yeah. And I guess maybe to play devil's advocate for Bree's sake,
maybe it's hard to give some character depth to this boring.
Yeah, honestly, maybe she had
God
hard thing.
Hand. You know?
Really, yeah, she had difficult thing. Maybe it was difficult to work with that. I could see that because I do like her and I've seen her in other stuff and I think she's great.
I think Samuel Jackson is my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah, he's excellent. No, I agree with you.
And the cat.
Gotta love the cat. Going back to Superman being boring, I know that's always kind of a. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Sure.
And for me, I like Superman, but. For me, he's got to be in that context of, I like him in the context of, I used to love the old TV show, and that was like real corny and real like, I'm the best American I could be. You know what I mean? That was real kind of like sappy in that way.
Yeah.
And Christopher Reeve was kind of like that too. And I feel like in that context, I enjoy him, but like this direction that he's taken where he's like in the same kind of dark space as Batman and all this other, then he's boring. Cause then it is like, oh, he's in the same kind of atmosphere as them, but he has no limits. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I kind of like Superman as like this corny thing rather than something real serious.
As bad as that movie was, the Batman versus Superman one, it's probably the only time I sat in a theater and watched, a Superman movie was that one.
Yeah, I mean, he's good in the comics, but the movies are all kind of like the same tone.
Yeah.
Of just all-American, smiling.
Just
wow,
too white bread, too boring.
Yeah, just like the whole all-American
thing. Yeah, I don't really love the movies. I did love the old TV show where he was just kind of like helping like, you know, a guy who had his restaurant ransacked or something. You know, like you know what I mean? It was like him helping like small kind of thing. I don't know. I liked the old TV show. It was just corny and fun, but I never really loved the movies.
I like that Marvel goes deep with their kind of lesser known characters. I don't know. In my opinion, I guess Captain Marvel wasn't a huge, you know.
They're pulling out all the stops.
But now they're going deep, and we're getting like a Morbius movie.
Yeah.
With our favorite actor, Jared Leto.
Did we talk about that on the last week's show?
Yeah, I think so. I think we brought it up.
I'm curious
Marvel
for that.
Marvel and DC had their 1,000th issue come out of their like flagship comics in 2019. I think they were both founded. I'm probably wrong with the dates, but I want to say it was like 1939 or something. So Detective Comics 1000 came out, and it was like 12 unique Batman stories. And then a few months later, Marvel Comics number 1000 came out. And that was like this pretty cool retrospective of like every year Marvel has been around, kind of like the big heroes that came out that year. Oh. So, you know, point is Marvel 1000 was really a deep dive into all of these obscure characters from the 40s and 50s. Along with the more prominent, well-known ones, and was really like, dang, these guys know their history, and they're keeping track of it. So when you say, like, they're pulling out all these really deep-dive characters, it's like, oh, they have all that stuff, like, codified and archived and ready to go. They haven't slept on any of their characters. Yeah. They're just waiting for, like, the right time to unveil them.
Yeah.
Really, every comic book creator wants to eventually create their own character. So over the years, everyone who's been employed and written for Marvel has probably like gotten their tenure, gotten their level up to where they've pitched and like actually birthed a new comic book character. And there's rosters of them that are,
you know,
some of my favorites
are obscure.
If I was a comic
book creator, writer, or artist, I don't know if I would want to get my own character over or just like, hey, can I
everyone's got an OC,
can
bro.
I do Wolverine? Can I can I do Batman?
I think that's what you would love to start out as.
The
and then
pressure must be so fucking like high. Because everybody's done Batman and a lot of people have done it well. So what are you gonna bring to the table? Anthony Birch from Hey Ash, What You Playing?
Yeah.
Did a Batman comic last year with John Carpenter.
He wrote it.
It was actually a Joker comic. And I got the issue. And I'll tell you, I was so fucking jealous. I was like, this dude. I know this dude. This dude's writing Joker comics. Like, how did he get that gig? Come on. That's so cool.
It was
And he got to work with John Carpenter, of all people. It's not like, oh, Anthony Birch and Joe Schmo. It's fucking John Carpenter. He's working with John Carpenter on a Batman comic. That's like, it doesn't get any better than that.
I think he got that gig. I'm just guessing, but I think he got that gig because he did like kind of a smaller comic. They did a smaller comic about Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, oh,
and
really?
I think he did that just kind of on his own.
That's how you get in. Got, yeah. You just create, and they're like, oh, I made this comic about nothing. People are like, it's pretty good. You want to do Batman? You want to do the Joker?
Yeah. Kevin Smith was doing Green Arrow for a while, right?
Oh, he does all kinds of stuff.
He still writes.
It's always interesting to me because I just got into comics last year, and I'm discovering how many prominent people who were well-known for something else delve into the world of comics. Like Kevin Smith writes a bunch of comics. Neil Gaiman writes a ton of comics. J.J. Abrams is doing, I think, a Spider-Man comic right now. All of these guys who probably don't need – I'm sure they're not making tons of money putting out comics – $3.99 little 12-page issues every week.
Yeah.
But it's just, you can tell they're having fun, and it's something like I'm sure they've always wanted to do this since they were kids, you know, especially like Kevin Smith. That must be great. Someday, mark my words, bucket list, I'm doing a Batman comic, and it's going to be the best one ever.
No chasing the Predator with a bat this time.
You got to add your OC into your Batman comic, though. You got to come up with some
Horatio.
New villain.
Oh, Horatio shows up in Batman.
Speaking of Kevin Smith, we were. I was just going to say I got a copy of.
It finally
came in. Jay and Silent Bob reboot. So we got to watch that.
Let's do that this week.
Up. Yeah, this week we'll watch it. Hopefully review
Monday
it.
Or Tuesday.
Hopefully review it next time.
Yeah,
I did not make it out to any of the screamings.
They were
behind the screams. I didn't make it out of any of the screenings that they did. I kind of have I don't know how very high expectations of this, but but I got the Blu-ray. And what's funny to me is I remember Kevin Smith would pride himself on how many extras he would put on like a thing, but he would always do like 80 commentaries. You know, like that dude can't stop talking.
Early podcasting.
And there's no commentaries on it. I was like,
whoa.
Really?
He got burnt out.
Yeah. It's like, what? I don't know what happened.
Do you get the feeling he's just kind of like, all right, let me get it out.
I get this feeling like he kind of just doesn't care anymore.
We had a big bad health scare too.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack or several or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, he survived a heart attack. But
it was about a year ago when this might have been closing production. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But then again, the last commentary that I listened to that he did like a 10th anniversary Clerks DVD commentary or something. I don't remember what it was, but that commentary is... I've always liked his commentaries, honestly. Like, I thought he had, as an indie filmmaker, had some interesting insight back then.
Yeah.
But he did a commentary years and years and years and years later on Clerks, and they got in and out like a quarter of the way into the commentary, and the rest of that commentary is
ew.
It is like
I don't want to hear that.
Them eating in and out while yay. Oh, thanks, man. So yeah.
No.
Oh, this fucking part is so good. So it's like I was sitting there just like, dude, like,
what is really on the podcast?
Like, yeah, is this a mid-2000s podcast?
You know what? I wish Netflix had commentary because
me too.
I don't listen to commentary tracks. I'm sitting here thinking like, well, why? I used to like those, and I realized like, well, I watch movies on Netflix.
Yeah,
it would be so cool if they had commentary tracks on Netflix. I'd watch the damn movie twice.
There's some streaming service that has. Is it Amazon or someone?
Really?
There's something that
yeah, I think so.
Because if you buy it on iTunes, you get
yeah,
all
on iTunes
features.
They'll have it sometimes.
Cool. Okay.
Hey, what is the best movie commentary you've ever listened to? And Rocco, don't say your commentary for The Matrix because that is egotistical.
My own? No, my don't own. No, I want to redo mine. I don't like it. Go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could. That was a lot. I could have said that I didn't.
There's more.
I could have
more.
Red said
pill
more.
Now.
I could have said more. Neo's List.
Fuck yeah! What is the best commentary you've ever listened to? Was there ever a commentary where you like felt like it made the movie better?
My two choices would be legitimately Francis Ford Coppola on the Godfather movies is fantastic.
Really?
It's all industry stuff, inside stuff, how he shot stuff. He just anything you could have wanted out of commentary on those movies. You get it.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Like, it's just like it is him on his own 3 hours plus, and it's like, wow, I just spent that whole time hearing his story. Like, so that's kind of classic to me. But in terms of both funny and informational, packed every second, this is going to sound weird. Weird Al UHF.
Hmm.
He literally gives you the address and locations of every shooting.
Holy shit.
Hey, if you want to, oh, here's the fast food restaurant we worked at. If you want to visit it, it's at you know, it's in Los Angeles at da 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 da. And he actually gives you like
holy
shooting
shit.
Location. And he gives you information on each scene, and then for each key scene where a new character comes in, that actor comes in.
Oh. Wow.
And, like, I mean, even, like, Michael Richards shows up.
Whoa,
at
that's
one
great.
Point. I don't know what era Michael Richards that was, or, you know, pre or post
the incident.
Stand-up routine. But anyway, you know, stuff like that. So it's full of information, and then that commentary track has something no other commentary track has ever had before or since. At one point during the commentary, he's talking about something, and then his manager, who's also on the commentary, goes, hey, Weird Al, could you give me a donut? I'm just hungry over here. And he goes, yeah, sure. And Weird Al gets up and walks across the screen, grabs a donut, and goes and sits back down. So they actually put a second copy of the movie on the DVD just so that one scene. Part could have Weird Al walk across the like that, like the DVD was two-sided, and I kept thinking, like, why does it need to be two-sided? And it's just for that gag. And they moved the movie got put on Blu-ray just recently, and that it was not included.
Oh no!
So you got to find the DVD.
That's a rare collector's item.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I went long.
That's a great answer.
I'll be real. That question
I don't listen to audio.
I phrased it for everybody. It was just Haraka.
I don't think I've ever listened to a director's commentary
really?
Once. I've recorded them with you guys.
The only ones I would watch were the South Park episodes.
Yeah, those are good too.
But those are mini commentaries.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
It is funny though, because I feel like that has kind of gone by the wayside it definitely has. Like you don't see those included as much anymore. But it's funny that when we release our stuff, like our Blu-rays and media like that. That's like the most requested thing. Like, I think that's what people kind of miss the most. So when we do stuff like that, I always hear like, "You're gonna do commentary, right? Like, where's the commentary?"
Oh, know, dude, the VHS.
Even with this VHS coming out, people were like, "Oh no, no commentary." It's like, no, we're gonna do commentary.
That was the biggest question with the VHS. I don't know if I'm gonna get it. It's not gonna have commentary. It's like, no, don't worry. We figured that out.
Yeah, and. So it's crazy. I feel like people miss that. Yeah, and with our again, any of our Blu-rays that we put out in the past, that was the thing I heard about the most. It's like, oh, I get these for the commentary. So there's a thirst out there for it. Someone has it.
Damn.
So yeah.
Well, commentary is about to end on tonight, fellas.
Oh,
that was good.
Thanks for that segue.
I like that. I really enjoyed that.
Sensed a lull in the force. Decided. Well, now Sean's bringing it back up.
No, wait. Is that what that means?
Yeah. Bring the energy back up.
This is cool.
Do we look cool, guys?
Meg?
Okay, it's time to reveal the twist of the show. Brian was not on the board tonight. Guess who was?
Who
was
that?
It was Meg.
What?
Meg!
Wow!
Oh
my
God!
Who would have thunk it? If you thought the editing of tonight's show had a little extra female touch, now you know why. Meg came back, and I'm proud to announce.
Meg doesn't engage with the chat as much.
I didn't hear any keyboard.
So many websites.
Minus 1,000.
You didn't post any links, Meg.
Minus 1,000 on that. But I'm happy to announce she's back for good, and she's not leaving. So says I, the Jedi Master. The Cock Master.
What?
Remember there was a Halloween I said that was my name?
I mean,
it was a reference. It was a reference.
Okay,
all right. What I'm called.
Does it flash yellow when you hit it?
Yeah.
I think it does.
They change different color. Oh, yeah. Yours flashes yellow.
Mine flashes yellow.
Nice.
Anyway. Real quick before we go, shop.mega64.com is a great place to pick up whatever you need. If you need it, we got it. We got the best online store. Amazon wishes they were us. eToys.com wishes they were us. Is that even around still? Probably not.
They're
since,
gone.
Not since 2002 have they been around, but just goes to show you, we're still around.
Super saver
shipping. We win.
We win. What's another one? Pets.com, are they still around?
Fries.com.
Fire
machines. Fries.com, you're out. Costco.com, you're hanging in there.
For now.
We'll see how long that
we
lasts.
We got your number, Costco.
Yeah. In-N-Out.com, yeah. Maybe you could sell a burger, but can you sell a website? Nah.
KobeBryant.com.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. His, no.
No.
In search of webmaster. But we've got a lot of great items for you. Shop.mega64.com is amazing because we have the best stuff. That's right. Just this week, we put up, and actually, we're extending it tonight. We had a 64-hour special shirt that was only going to be around 64 hours. The frogs or worms or whatever shirt was only supposed to be up 64 hours, but we had like a lot of difficulty getting this podcast out on YouTube last week. There was a lot of trouble with that, but we fixed it. But a lot of people didn't even know like that came out because this is where we kind of talk about it. So yeah. We're extending that. If you didn't get that, there it is.
128-hour special.
Yeah.
Another really. Chance.
But that, and if you're watching tonight, tonight's also the last night you can pre-order the 64 sunglasses.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's still Ooh. Up, but that's coming down tonight. I saw people wearing those at the wedding yesterday.
Yeah.
They were looking hot. They were looking great. So anyway, get those. But we got a lot of other great items too. Go to shop.mega64.com and check that out. Patreon.com/mega64 is also a great place with lots of exclusive stuff and even more coming this week. We've got a whole blast, cannon blast of friend dimension coming to you this week. I don't know why it does that sound.
Sorry, I was adjusting.
He's
my,
oh, he's doing crystal stuff.
Adjusting my Kyber crystal. Sorry.
And it has been MLK stream. MLK yeah. day was Monday. So we've been doing the MLK stream throughout the week, continuing it. But I have to say, I will apologize for a lot of people because, you know, there was a lot going on this week for us just in our personal lives.
Yeah.
And some of it I did want a mobile stream. Like these guys went out like skateboarding.
Dude, Sean dropped in for the first time.
First time.
Fucking landed it.
I landed. I also fell and I am in so much pain.
It's all on.
it really hurts.
It was all recorded.
It's all there. We did it.
Yeah, and so there's been a lot of out and about streams we wanted. The plan was to do a lot of out and about
yes.
streams. But the mobile stream apps are all like busted in some way. I've had a lot of difficulty yeah. this week. The default Twitch app will say like, yeah, you're live, and we're not. Or we'll use like Streamlabs app. Oh, no audio. It doesn't stream audio. What? And I never had trouble with that before, but we had a lot of struggles this week. And that's not just like on my phone.
We have
a lot of people here
Johnny
with brand new
us.
Phones. Yeah. And like it should work. And it really wasn't working. So that was part of it. And then another part of it was, frankly, I planned to like when we were doing the bachelor party thing on Wednesday, I was like, that'll be fun to stream. We'll stream. And even at the wedding yesterday, I think at one point we even talked about, you know, during the reception, it'd be fun to go to that on the stream. But, you know, once you're there, it's like, am I going to be the guy to like turn a live stream on
in the middle of
hey, guys, we're streaming. Look, we're streaming. And I feel like, you know, it's those moments where it's like, you know what? Don't force that in. Like we're all like enjoying what this is.
You classed it up.
And I honestly had that thought when we were there on Wednesday, and it was like, I planned to stream a million times on our Disneyland day and didn't. It was just like, no, I don't want to spoil. We got our own personal day. Let's really like enjoy that. And I thought, I think that mentality, because we even asked Kevin, it was like, Kevin, what do you think? We're building lightsabers. Should we turn the stream on for that? And he was like, Let's do this as our thing. Let's do, you know, because we were going back and forth on it. And I really thought, you know, I think that might be why we're still together doing this after 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Is like not forcing content for the sake of content. It's like
sure,
knowing,
right.
knowing when it's like, no, you know what? This is our thing. We'll do this for them and this is our thing. You know what I mean?
Sometimes
I know a
you
lot
don't want to be on.
Yeah.
You just want to be with your friends and build a lightsaber.
You want to have a private
dance
party.
You don't want to, you know, play the camera too. You just want to just do it for yourself.
Yeah. And I really thought that. I was like, I really think that's why we haven't fully snapped. I said fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's by a thread right now. A
little bit. Just hanging on. No, but you know what I mean? Anyway, I had that thought and I was just like, yeah, okay, that's fine. We don't need to necessarily do that. But I do apologize to everyone at home. You probably had to watch How to Be a Clown or whatever that video was one too many times. But I wanted to give a real quick shout out. Something that we did during the stream was one night I put on a Zelda fan film festival.
Fantastic.
I found a ton of Zelda fan films online and streamed all of them through like for hour. I think it was like 4 or 5 hours worth of Zelda fan films.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that we showed was a full 2 hours. Whoa. And these guys made it in 2008. I mean, they were like kids basically. Damn. Back then, and made this. It's a 2 hour movie.
Holy shit.
Where this basically it was the legend of Link, I think is what it's called.
Ooh.
It's the Legend of Link. But yeah, the Legend of Young Link. Sorry, I missed that part.
Okay.
And he's got to work his way up to being Link and getting all the gear. And then once he does, there's a scene where he annihilates all these people to a Linkin Park song.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And it summed up the feeling of making a video with your friends in 2008. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to these guys and Real Life Glitch Entertainment. Mm. We told people about this. We showed this film, but it's on like an old channel that they have, but they have a new channel. They're still making stuff. And in fact, they just recently did a reaction video to them watching this for the first time in, you know, 12 years or whatever. Real Life Glitch Entertainment. I guess they were really happy that an audience got to watch it together.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun. Shout out to them. They made a movie, a 2 hour movie back then. We can't even get it done. We're grown ass men. So we'll try our best.
You guys are inspiration to us. Yeah, thank you. In honor of MLK, they got an audience for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, check out those guys. Those guys are awesome. Maybe we'll link to it. Maybe we could put a little link in the description of the
no pun intended
podcast. Oh yeah. Anyway, I didn't even. It took me a minute.
Want to do final thoughts on this podcast?
That was my final thought. I don't know.
I have a final thought for the after show.
Okay.
I'll save it.
That's kind of the wrong. Kind of the wrong.
Kind of the
After show is kind of like the leftover scraps. This is where you do it.
Because that's my final thought. Is like I got to leave during the after show because my girlfriend's making dinner and.
This is killer material.
I know.
That's why I said
I was going to save it for the after show, but you got make me bring it up on the spot here. Roll with what I got.
It's all on Sean.
Sean?
Just, you know, be good to each other.
Little Springer vibes.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Be good to yourselves and each other. Nice.
Yeah. I think Jerry had it right.
All right. Sean's going to edit this into the podcast. We're going to end it on this. Kobe dying.
Joker. I don't have access to proper mental health care.